Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's talk some college football, shall we? Seth Galina, a senior college football analyst for Pro Football Focus, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Seth, how you doing?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Well, we're doing well. We're hoping there's going to be a college football season. Let's start there. We know that a lot of concern in the NBA with teams going into the bubble. We know that baseball is trying to get underway with intake day today. So give me kind of your sense, your gut as to the college football season upcoming.
My gut tells me there will be a college football. Well, there will be like an FBS college football season. I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing, but I think that they're going to do everything in their power to have the season. So, because they kind of, you know, the NCAA, they kind of do whatever they want to do. So that's kind of where I'm leaning. But also, you know, talk to you tomorrow, and I can tell you that absolutely I don't think there's going to be a season. So I think it's such a fluid thing right now. I saw today you talked about the NBA and baseball. I saw today already. I think the MLS had a breach in their bubble. So, I mean, who knows? Honestly, it's really a day-to-day thing.
I'm looking for a season to get underway. I just don't know, as you had mentioned, when you start to put these players, these athletes in a bubble, still wanting to be living the college life and going out and about. I want to remain optimistic. I said, hey, it's July. We're going to try to talk about some positivity today. I just don't know if we're going to be able to do it and if we're going to get a college football season. However, there is a lot of discussion about different teams atop their divisions and realignments and thoughts of realignments. And I know Pat Ford had a really interesting column the other day about kind of aligning things so there's not as much travel in certain areas for certain places. Do you think at any point college football looks at itself and says, okay, the Big Ten, the Big 12, the Pac-12, and all the SEC, that everything is just kind of discombobulated, or is there just too much money at stake and everybody's going to remain the same until somebody just cries poor?
I don't see things remaining the same for that much longer. I think there's just too much money at the top for a lot of like kind of smaller programs to be viable. I mean, we're already seeing all these, mid-major, G5 teams, Division II, FCS teams, kind of cancel a lot of their other sports. Because those don't make any money, and they're kind of funded by, usually the football program, the basketball program. And those are teams that are that far, in terms of, the G5 teams. I mean, they're in the same division as the P5 team. So I just think that there's such a gulf now that I can't imagine a world where, I'm not saying next year, but I mean 10, 15 years, 20 years down the line that we have some sort of super division. I don't know. I always think of it like, you watch a lot of European soccer, but I feel the same way with the clubs there, where we're going to have like a European Super League, because the gulf between the haves and have-nots is just too wide in college football. But so that's kind of how I see it. I hope that's not the case, because people who like college football because of all the diversity involved in it. But it's a little depressing. But yeah, I don't really see it happening.
I want to get back into the Big Ten a bit. Interesting, because I was reading an article yesterday out of USA Today on Jim Harbaugh. And I want to know, in your thoughts, is this kind of a proving year? Every year we talk about Harbaugh and what he's going to mean to that you know, that college obviously wanting to go back home and wanting to be there and resurrect that program. And he has had some success, but it hasn't been the level of success that they really thought that they would have. Is this the year that Jim Harbaugh is really under the gun? Because he's bringing in talent, but the talent has not been able to beat Ohio State, and it certainly has not been able to get them anywhere close to a national title.
Yeah, but it's the Ohio State question every year, because I think they're super talented. I think he's done a really good job. When you talk about him changing the program, I mean, that we remember them in the, you know, Rich Rod and Hokier. I mean, it was a shambles. So he's definitely got them back on the kind of a straight and narrow. It's just like he happens to play in the same division as one of the best teams in college football. So I don't know if it's necessarily a make or break year, but at the same time, because they have been that good, but at the same time, I think the public perception is that, well, if they can't beat Ohio State, then what's the point? So in that case, I'm like, oh yeah, all right, I could see how, I think in like a rational world, he's you know, the best coach they can kind of get right now. And you're really rolling the dice if you get rid of him. But public perception means a lot, and if you can't beat Ohio State again, then yeah, I could really see them kind of going down a road that I don't think is very wise.
Wanted to ask you about the West, and I know Wisconsin has had a prominent place atop the West pretty much since its inception. One thing we always talk about is the team that can knock them off. Iowa has had its opportunities. Minnesota has had its opportunities. When do we look at Nebraska and go, okay, this is legitimately the year that Nebraska returns to a power?
So it's funny. I just finished writing about Nebraska for our College Football Preview magazine, and I was looking up their recruiting rankings, and it's actually not bad. I mean, like 2016, 17, 18, I think they were in the top five every year in the Big Ten in recruiting rankings. So that's pretty good. My thing with them is I like what they do schematically. I like all that stuff. They're clearly recruiting at a pretty okay level. One of the things that changed at Central Florida for Scott Frost was the quarterback became a legitimate passer and wasn't just this threat in their kind of, you know, what I call like millennial triple option type of scheme that they run. I think it was Mackenzie Milton was there at the time. So Mackenzie Milton became like a real passer. He could drop back, you know, it was third down. They could get away with having him on the field per se. That hasn't happened yet with Adrian Martinez. And I don't even know if he's going to start next year. And then you hear rumblings with McCaffrey and stuff like that. So that's the thing with Nebraska. It's like the scheme works, the recruiting fine, blah, blah, blah. If the quarterback just can't deliver in high leverage situations, they're not going to go anywhere. And I haven't seen anything from that particular quarterback that tells me. I mean, he grades very bad in our system, accuracy, you know, decision-making, all that stuff. So I haven't seen it yet for them. Maybe they go with a different quarterback and it changes things. So that's kind of my concern with Nebraska. I'd like to see them do some damage because I like watching their offense. It's fun, but I don't know. I don't know if it's possible with the personnel.
Give me your thoughts on what Wisconsin has this year. Obviously, they lose a guy like Cephas. Some question marks about the quarterback position. They lose Jonathan Taylor, the running back. They still have a pretty solid offensive line. Defensively, they look to be strong. But give me your overall thoughts on Wisconsin.
So I'm a little less shaky on the quarterback position. I think Jack Cohn is actually very good. Now, he's losing, like you said, losing the receiver, losing the running back. So they're going to have to find some skilled players there, though I think they'll be able to do that. Cohn, I'm not passing right, is it Cohn or Cohn? Anyway, so when I watch him, I see a quarterback who plays in a system that, and I'm sure you guys talk about this all the time, like this is not a college system per se. You know, this is an NFL thing that they're doing there with you know, the head coach coordinator. So that's tough. Like, he doesn't get the benefit of having all these RPOs, all this stuff, you know, being in the shotgun every time. I just looked this up. I think they were like, you know, if you take out the triple option teams. They were like the third most under-center team in the country last year. So he doesn't get, he's got to drop back. He does 5-step drop, 7-step drop. And from what I understand about talking to some people who played for Paul Chris back in the day, is that he's very into a week-by-week kind of, well, this particular concept works against this defense that we're seeing, so we're going to install it for this week. And that's not super easy. And all that being said, Cone performed pretty admirably in that offense. So I'm a fan, and I think if he progresses a little bit more, he can carry the team to, like, I don't know. Is he the best quarterback since Russell Wilson at Wisconsin? I kind of think so. I'm that big of a fan of him. So I like what they have there. I think they're definitely obviously the favorites in the division. I don't think that's really a question. Minnesota's pretty good, but I like Wisconsin's quarterback more than Minnesota's quarterback. So that's kind of where I kind of put them ahead of Minnesota.
Talking with Seth Galina, senior college football analyst for Pro Football Focus. Graham Mertz is a guy that came in with a lot of promise, one of the top recruits out there in the country. He's now sitting behind Jack Cone. A lot of people clamoring for Mertz, that this guy's got a big arm. He's got all the athletic ability. We know that he came in and was a little bit underwater when it came to the knowledge of the offense and the ability to read defenses and such. But many think that, or at least the perception is that, oh, my God, if you don't make this guy a starter this year, that he could transfer out of here and you don't have anybody. Give me your thoughts on Graham Mertz and that situation behind Jack Cone.
Yeah, I feel it's such an interesting kind of dilemma that goes on, not just at Wisconsin, but goes on everywhere now in college football because, you know, the transfer rules are lax now. So you don't, if you're not playing as a quarterback, I'm pro transfer. So like if you want to go play somewhere. But I'm still, like I said, I mean, I just talked so gushingly about Cone that I think he's definitely, for me, it'd be hard to go away from Cone. I think he just gets the offense. Like I said, it's a tough offense. He gets it. So yeah, maybe you're playing with fire a bit if you don't play. Don't play the young kid even a little bit, or start him for sure, because there's other opportunities for him. He can transfer and probably play immediately in some places. So I don't know. I think putting him in just to put him in to keep him around and have a guy who understands the system is not super wise. But I also would understand if they did it because you don't want to be the team that loses these type of talent. Like, that's another thing. Like, you just don't want to be the. You know, we look at Georgia now, like, oh, my God, like, damn, they lost, you know, Justin Fields, blah, 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 like, one of the pick-your-own quarterback. Like, you don't want to be that team. But I would find it hard not to have Cone as the starter through most of the year.
Well, you don't want the Joe Burrow effect, where Joe Burrow goes to Ohio State and ends up winning a title and then becoming the Heisman Trophy winner and then the first overall pick, and then he ends up going to Cincinnati, and you don't win the trophy. So I get it. Seth, always a pleasure to talk to you. Wish we had more time. We're out of time, but pleasure to get you on the program. We'll talk more once this season gets underway, okay?
Thanks, dude.
Thanks, pal. Appreciate it. Senior college football analyst at Pro Football Focus. You can go at @PFF_Seth, @PFF_Seth on Twitter. Seth Galina joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been doing it. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.